It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Tale of Two Cities this week on Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure, your home of all Queensland AFL news. And, well, the good news is the Lions are finally back on the winners list. They seem up and about. That premiership campaign finally launched a little bit later than expected with a scintillating win over the Dons. And I have to say, Jack and Will, torrential conditions at the Gabba. I haven't seen the rain come down during the footy season like that for years and years. Dane Zorko saying it's probably the wettest conditions he's played in. And, well, we have very little sympathy on this podcast for the cricket pitch in the middle of the Gabba, and I think a few smiles went around, Jack.
Absolutely. The cricket pitch in the middle of the Gabba was a muddy heap by the end of the game. And actually, that's the first time I've ever seen mud at the Gabba, and it was proper mud. So I'd be tipping a flat deck for the first test next summer.
Yeah. It looked as if an Adele concert had just taken place at the Gabba, but it looked like Essendon were a team that had never played in the rain in their entire lives, even through juniors. So I think Brisbane benefited from that, which was a nice result, and it was just good to look like Brisbane again.
Well, the Lions denied the Bombers the corridor pretty much from the get-go and really forced the young Essendon lineup to kick down the line. And it just, the way the Lions could mount their pressure from those attacks, we're talking forward 50 turnovers, and they heaped the pressure on. And against a side that was really on the rise in Essendon, that is a solid win for the Lions. Of course, Lachie Neal back to where he needs to be, 38 touches. You saw him rove the goal off the back of the pack, and that was just quintessential Lachie Neal. Dan Rich, he's just getting better and better with age, 900 metres plus gained in the wet, which is fantastic. Joe Danaher, just to really hurt every Essendon fan out there, just 25 disposals as well.
He actually looked really good in the ruck. It was almost like a Brody Grundy type game where he ranged around the ground. He got a lot of the footy. He's actually a really good field kick too.
Yeah, he also took the most marks on the ground, which was nice. He took 8 in the end, including a hanger that was touched off the boot. So he just looked really clean and really composed. And I'm glad that it's only taken 5 rounds, and we've started to see signs of the best of Joe Danaher, and that was a really complete game. So even though he didn't kick a bag, it was a great team win in the end.
I really did like the Dons fans as much as I tried my hardest not to, and I will say I didn't. Every Essendon fan in the ground booed him mercilessly, but the Lions fans, to their credit, they tried to make as much noise as possible to override that, and I really liked it. As in the last term, where he took those 2 consecutive marks in front of goal, I just saw Charlie Cameron just pumping up the crowd as well, so good form there from Charlie, although I will say, in the most Joe Danaher way of doing things, missing from directly in front. Lions fans, I'm sorry, but that's what you're going to get with Joe. He'll do several spectacular things, but he will miss from in front. That's just going to happen. So get used to that. But Jack, you would have seen this as well during the game, and you too, Will. One man came back into that side, and all of a sudden, the structure of the team just changed. I'm talking about Dan McStay. His impact on that side is incredibly understated.
It really is, and I've actually gone from thinking that Dan McStay is the most expendable part of that Brisbane lineup to now thinking, like, the whole forward setup just doesn't work without him, because while he doesn't take a lot of marks, he hits up hard at the footy. Of all their tall forwards, he's the best at ground level in, you know, tackling pressure, and he just gives you a contest every time. He might not have a massive impact on the stat sheet, but you know what you're going to get from Dan McStay. And I think like the Charlie Camerons, the Lincoln McCarthys of the world are a lot happier for having Dan McStay back in the side.
Moving forward, the Blues will be the Lions' next opponent, Marvel Stadium at 4:35 on Saturday. Will, we know these circumstances can sometimes be a little bit dangerous for the Blues, really struggling at the moment. This will show whether that Lions machine is really up and rolling.
Yeah, dare I cast Brisbane fans' minds back to 2019 when we're at Marvel Stadium. It was a sunny afternoon.
It's coming off the bye, though, wasn't it?
It's going into the bye, yeah.
That's right. Going into the bye, and we led by 40 plus points, and then just we took our bye early.
And third quarter,
from memory, we didn't actually come out after halftime. I don't quite remember the game, but Patrick Cripps just tore us to pieces. He just decided to put the team on his back. This is one of those games that 3 years ago I would have considered a danger game. I think we're a mature enough outfit now that we'll be able to just get this one done, put the win in the book. But you know, stranger things have happened, and we haven't looked great for a lot of the year, but I'm confident we've turned a corner.
Well, I'll keep with the positives rolling here because it's been an incredible week for the Brisbane Lions as a football club altogether. Of course, the women's getting the job done over in Adelaide. Sensational performance to win by 18 points there. And I've got to say, the good footy energies were flowing up here in Queensland. And I love seeing that the Queensland public really embracing the Lions girls after, you know, two heartbreaking grand final defeats, and finally to come away with that win. There's a new generation of stars that this state has embraced.
But the great thing was just the all these amazing stories that came out of that team. Like you had Jess Wooshner got hit by lightning last year, you know, went through some really dark times, come back, kicks two goals in a grand final. Ali Anderson, I think she played in like 9 grand finals, never won one, and then finally gets it done in her 10th. Emma Zilke, you know, the captain, tearing the hamstring and retiring after the game. And also when Zilke was getting her medal, the little girl saying, "You're my hero." Just wholesome.
It was.
It really is beautiful. Yep. And that's where I think the AFL really is doing, you know, engaging women's sport, I think, better than any other code.
I think they're absolutely dominating at the moment. I did love at the end of the game, or just in the aftermath, Craig Staskovich has just become a premiership coach. And geez, he acted like it immediately, telling Jeff Kennett to back off. Don't touch our players. If Hawthorn want to put a team into the competition, you should have done that years ago. Stay away from our girls. I love that from him.
How good is that? And just about the best thing from a Queensland perspective is how much of the list is from Queensland. So I think it's more than 70%.
Yeah.
And when you consider that the team, you know, obviously lost two grand finals, then got raided by the new clubs that got brought in, alluding to your Hawthorn comment just there. Yeah. And then to get a game moved from Brisbane to Victoria with 23 hours notice this year, to win that game, to spend the most time on the road than any other club, to travel to Adelaide in front of, you know, 20,000, 30,000 Adelaide fans, a club that's won two premierships, and knock them off. It's one of the most incredible AFL storylines in recent years. And it's an absolute credit to that whole setup because I had my doubts. I thought it was going to be one mountain too far, but they were just incredibly impressive. And how good's Kate Luckins? Jesus.
Oh, amazing.
So that's the Brisbane Lions men sorted, women sorted, even the VFL side. That season's back up and running now. So Lions VFL side getting up by 66 points. Reece Matheson, 31 touches. Connor Ballenden, 29. Dev Robinson played himself into a bit of form again. So the depth is running strong. I think that's their 22nd win in a row for that side as well. So
they haven't been beaten since 2018. Lions reserves.
They continue to steamroll along. But just looking a little bit further, and there's a bit of smugness up here in Queensland, Will, because when we found out that the VFL competition was going to be expanded to bring in the NEAFL sides, they thought there'd be a massive drop in quality and, you know, they can't compete with these Victoria. Oh, well, have a look at this. Aspley defeating Port Melbourne. Southport coming from 31 points down to knock off the Blues at Icon Park. We talked about the Lions getting it done over the Bombers. Footscray beat the Gold Coast. We can't have them all. But Queensland side's really representing well in the VFL so far. We will get ahead of ourselves. That's exactly what we do on this podcast. But all flying up here. Until now we get to the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's where it all falls apart. Yeah. What was the score at one point? It was 69-3?
It was 70-9 at halftime.
Yeah.
Did someone say priority pick?
Yeah, yeah. I want to touch on that there because we just saw an article come out only a few hours ago suggesting that the AFL is likely to have a look at the Gold Coast list concessions coming up at the end of the season if this form continues.
Yeah, I'd say they'd have to have a look at them and keep them in place if it keeps going the way it's going. But at the same time, they've copped a really cruel run with injuries.
You're right. There's a lot of there's pressure coming left, right, and centre now. It's officially become a pile on now on the Suns, and
also like the efforts there over other seasons. Other seasons they've had an injury list and, you know, they've been bad and just got blown out every week and not appeared to be trying. There's a real effort there in that team, and there's a sort of pride there that's come in the last couple of years. Like at halftime, they were embarrassed, and in years gone by, you'd just see the Doggies put another 20 goals on them in the second half.
Yep.
They fought them to a draw in the second half. So
yeah, 6 goals to 2 in that third term.
Yeah, it's you know, things aren't as bad as they seem, but it's not a good look for the Gold Coast at the moment.
Look, what we saw, like, Lukosha is a genuine star. You got Greenwood and Tuke Miller, number 1 and 2 in the competition for tackles alone. Like, Greenwood alone's averaging over 9 tackles a game, which is elite numbers. So it's there, but
they're okay. It was a really ugly game, but I think there's more upside than down.
There's still plenty to go in this season, so we'll be nice and positive here on this podcast.
We go down the highway on the weekend. They've got Sydney at Metricon Stadium.
Nobody.
No Heaney, no Rampy, no Hickey.
It's a winnable game. Right. They are 100% right for the picking. So, and I'd back the Gold Coast to respond after that.
You'd think so, yeah.
Yeah, and just seeing that the way that they responded in the second half against the Doggies, yeah, they'd be pretty fired up. I think that stung them a lot.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out on Saturday. Jack Fulham, Will Ralston, once again, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.